Today I'm speaking with Patrick Palacios, founder and CEO of a company called Absolutely. Patrick is talking to me from the Philippines. Hi, Patrick. How are you?
Hey, Darius. How are you? Thanks for having me here.
What is Absolutely and what does it actually do?
So Absolutely is a five-year-old company based out of Southeast Asia in the Philippines. And we've been doing loyalty programs and e-commerce applications for retailers, restaurants, and merchants. So what we do is we provide the private label or white label loyalty programs for companies like TGI Fridays, Under Armour, American Eagle, and Starbucks in the Philippines. Exploring blockchain for quite some time now, and we decided to solve a fundamental problem in the retail and loyalty program space. That's it. Since we've been doing private loyalty programs for 5 years now, I noticed that not all merchants and retailers are successful with their loyalty programs, mainly because it's not engaging enough for the end consumer. And that's a problem because for the consumer, the rewards are not engaging enough and that the points expire. And your points cannot be used in other retailers and brands. So when blockchain came along, when I studied blockchain last year or the year before that, I said that blockchain could definitely be a perfect use case for the retail and loyalty programs, meaning you can use it's going to solve the problem of loyalty points expiring and loyalty points being accepted universally in any merchant globally. So that's why we created LoyalCoin.
Okay, so one of my key questions regarding blockchain is you could do that also with just a regular database, right? I mean, what you just explained. So why do you need a distributed architecture to do that?
Okay, so because we're not only just a universal rewards program, we are also doing a shapeshift type of application in our app, in our wallet. We call it the Loyal Wallet. So meaning if you buy coffee, let's say at Starbucks in the Philippines, and you earn Loyal Coin, aside from being able to use it in a Family Mart convenience store in Japan, you have the option, the merchant has, or the consumer has the option of converting it to Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever cryptocurrency like XEM.
Just to give some information about these terms, shapeshift, can you explain what that means?
It means that we are also exchanging and cryptocurrency. So LoyalCoin is a cryptocurrency, and within our wallet, you can exchange this LoyalCoin to other cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum,
okay,
or XEM or any other, like maybe Ripple.
Right. Whatever currency is implemented within your wallet, the user will be able to convert it into or shift it, I guess. So that's like an industry term that is used when a customer is able to switch or convert their currency to another crypto. It's called shapeshift, correct?
Yeah, but it's also a service application. It's also an exchange.
Okay, yeah. So is that why you call it shapeshift? Because you're using that service within your app to do the conversion?
Yes.
Okay, so you're using
We're not using that service. We're using a similar process.
Oh, okay, a similar process. Okay, a valuable thing for customers to be able to use the rewards any way they want, and they're not just too limited to buy like airline tickets from certain airlines.
And you can also send that to your friends and relatives who has a Loyal Wallet. So imagine you have, especially like in the Philippines, 30% of our economy is coming from overseas Filipino workers, meaning the people who live overseas send a lot of remittance to their relatives in the Philippines. So that's why that's also another application, perfect use case for the blockchain, remittance.
So the reason I asked that question is that people are separating what's happening in the crypto world into the currency and the blockchain. The blockchain is the technology
Correct.
Side of it. The currency is
Correct.
The currency basically running on top of a blockchain. It can be the Bitcoin
Correct.
Blockchain or Ethereum blockchain or whatever. So the
Yes.
question that I was asking is, and what I want to understand again more clearly about Absolutely and Loyalcoin is, what part of these two different concepts or these two different capabilities is most valuable for your users? It sounds like the currency conversion, probably even more valuable.
Yes. Well, actually, we can do both. Recently, Singapore Airlines out of Southeast Asia announced that they're doing their own private blockchain for their air miles. So, and they're tying up with the merchants, but their product is not ready yet until I think the third or fourth quarter of this year. That's another application of the blockchain, but that's not cryptocurrency. It's a fixed currency. So what we do is do a combination of both for a private label and at the same time for a coalition.
So help me understand how the process works with the actual retailer. If somebody goes to Starbucks in the Philippines and purchases something, what is Starbucks' role in the conversion process? Let's say, you know, Starbucks gives me 10 points.
Okay,
I want to convert that to Bitcoin. How does Starbucks actually end up paying for that?
They don't see that process. What they're doing is just rewarding their customers with regular points or cash back. Retailers and merchants usually have of about 0.5 to 5% of their total sales on as rewards or cashback. So what they do is they will, for example, a grocery has probably a lower rewards ratio because their margins are lower. Let's say for every $100, 50 cents would be used to buy Loyalcoin. Think of it like a cashback. Now, the consumer on the wallet has the capability of converting that 50 cents worth of Loyalcoin into other cryptocurrencies. And it's transparent already to the merchant.
So you play the exchange for the currencies between
Correct.
All the different
Correct.
Merchants, and you manage that for them.
Yes.
It goes, okay. So do you have like an agreement with Starbucks on a worldwide level or just in the Philippines?
We have 2 million members here in the Philippines with different merchants. We did a mobile app for Starbucks here in the Philippines, but that's not on blockchain. We have about 30 other merchants in the Philippines and a big merchant in Thailand. What we did, first of all, is to do a pilot program right now with one milk tea retailer called Gongcha. They're the first retailer that's running on the blockchain.
What was the name again?
It's a Taiwanese brand called Gongcha.
I'll get the URL to their website from you later.
Gongcha is a global milk tea provider. They have a lot of brands, outlets also in the U.S., in several locations around the world. So in the Philippines, they have about 80 outlets, and we're running a pilot right now. They have about existing 150,000 members of their loyalty program, and they're the first running application of Loyalcoin.
Loyalcoin is ready as a cryptocurrency, correct?
Yes, correct.
It is ready to be used. Okay.
It's ready to be used.
What does it take for a retailer to actually start becoming a part of your program?
Oh, they just sign up. We have a program that's specifically targeted for the small and medium retailers. And we also have a program that's targeted for the large retailers and merchants. For the large retailers, we have a private label agreement. For example, Burger King in Russia launched their own cryptocurrency called Whopper Coin. We can also do private label coins for big merchants. And all they need to do is sign up. For large retailers, we either integrate with their POS systems or their cash registers or their ERP systems. connect via API, or we have a tablet located beside their cash register. Depends on the preference of the merchant. All they need to do is sign up. They connect their system to us. They use either a 1D barcode scanner to scan the QR code in the Loyal wallet for the customers to earn Loyal coin. So it's quite straightforward.
Loyal wallet is the name of your wallet, right?
Yes.
You mentioned that they need to connect their systems to you. What is that process? Like an API or?
Yes, it is an API. It's an API. Since we've integrated with the top POSs already in the world, we integrated with companies or big retail POS systems like LS Retail. That's a Microsoft product, and their ERP Navision. So have experience integrating with NCR Aloha. That is a leading brand for restaurants and fast casual. Experience integrating with Retail Pro, an API connecting to their system, so that it's seamless. So we're able to provide analytics to the merchants. Aside from enabling them to reward their customers with Loyal coin, we can tell the merchants not only who their top customers are, how much they spend, but we can also provide who the top customers for each product or SKU.
How does the actual blockchain process work for Loyal coin? You have multiple nodes across the region, and that's how the data is distributed?
So what we did is to use if you've heard of the NEM blockchain, they're one of the leading blockchain platforms in the world. So we've decided to use them. We used to be an Ethereum ERC-20 token. Since Ethereum, it's publicly known that they have scalability issues, we shifted to the NEM blockchain because of scalability.
How difficult is it to change your blockchain?
NEM is quite flexible and very user-friendly. We didn't have to train our existing developers to learn a new language. The NEM people have trained our programmers for 1 to 2 days. And we were able to create our coin using the Mosaic platform. Bitcoin, as you may probably be familiar with, can only do about 6 transactions per second.
Right.
Ethereum right now can probably do about maybe 10 to 15 or even a stretch of 10 to 20 transactions per second. Comparing it to PayPal, that is about 100 transactions per second. So you can see that Bitcoin in Ethereum has a long ways to go. But NEM can do about 4,000 transactions per second.
What is different about their blockchain that gives them that level of difference?
It's a next generation blockchain. So it was created in 2015. So it's a much younger, and there's a lot more. The technology is definitely better now. Ethereum was created much earlier. But I think it's just a matter of time also for Ethereum to be scalable compared to the Visa levels. Bitcoin and Ethereum works on a proof of work. Of course, proof of stake is better. NEM has what you call the technology called proof of importance. The more transactions you do, the more you're rewarded. They're part of our board also.
Let's talk about security. So security is a major advantage of using blockchain. Can you explain to me how it actually helped Loyal coin?
Blockchain, as you know, it's immutable. It's the most secure system in the world. Each transaction is made up of several blocks that are in the chain. So if you try to tamper with one of the blocks, all the other blocks will automatically be affected. So it's virtually impossible to hack. Now, you probably heard of exchanges being hacked. Like the recent exchange the hacking that happened in Japan, the $500 million hacking. And because the exchange probably didn't do the best practice. If you have a cryptocurrency, best practice is one, you have to store all your cryptocurrency into a cold wallet, meaning a hardware wallet that's not connected to the internet. What exchanges do is they store most of the cryptocurrency of their customers into a hot wallet that's connected to the internet. And another thing that wasn't practiced by the exchange was to use the multi-sig capability, meaning before a transaction gets approved or released, there has to be at least 3 people approving of that transaction. And that was not practiced.
One of the things that I hear is that blockchain has the potential to change the ownership of the data.
Ultimately, the consumer has to have consent. If their information will be used by the merchant.
Let's say, for example, a consumer at some point in time said, you know what, I'm going to move my data to a different coin. Is that possible? I'm sure you already have competition. I probably have know a couple of them. Somebody else will come up with another loyalty program, pays more to the customer, or has some other advantage. I mean, this is, it's right. It's a free market, right? So,
right.
How easy is it for a consumer to actually move around these different providers?
First of all, we're using a NEM platform. As far as interoperability, I don't think that if somebody uses an ERC-20, there will have to be some technical cooperation and technical integration between the two platforms. And I believe that hasn't been done yet. And, you know, I've been doing loyalty programs for several years, and loyalty programs are very sticky. So once you get the merchant, it's very difficult to migrate to another platform. And it's mainly because we're not only providing mechanism to provide rewards, but also we provide analytics. We also provide marketing tools and campaigns, like email integration too. We provide different types of services like, for example, special vouchers or segmented marketing campaigns. Like, for example, a customer hasn't visited this establishment for 60 days. We have the capability of providing We Miss You loyal coin or cryptocurrency, or We Miss You voucher. And at the same time, a lot of other capabilities like demographic-specific promos and push notifications. A lot of people, want to go into loyalty programs using the blockchain, but not a lot of them have the experience that we have dealing with digital rewards programs and legacy rewards programs.
There's definitely a lot more to a business than just a technology. How many countries is Loyalcoin in right now?
5 countries. Namely, the Philippines, Thailand, Japan, the UK, and the US.
What does it take to go to a new country for you?
Regulation and legal, especially policies of the local SEC for cryptocurrency and the blockchain. So we usually hire the best law firms representing us in the different territories. Example, in the US, we hired one of the top law firms called Carlton Fields. Also in Japan, we hired the top blockchain law firm to apply for an exchange license also in Tokyo.
You had an ICO, I guess, in December?
The token generation event.
Okay.
Yes.
So TGE, it's also known as an ICO. Where is it at right now?
So we completed our ICO or token generation event last week of January. So we sold out. We raised more than $15 million. We reached our hard cap. It used to be 19, but because, you know, the value of the cryptocurrency went down. So it's somewhere between 15 and 19.
How did you decide on that number?
We had to estimate on what a reasonable token price would be, what a good number of tokens circulating in the total ecosystem be, which is about right now we have a total circulation of 9 billion tokens. So we also estimated what we need for our operations in expanding globally, and that's how we came to a soft cap of $12 million and a hard cap of $19 million.
A lot of companies are raising a lot more than that. There's a cost associated with raising too much. You know, as a startup, if you have too much money, it can actually work against you.
Correct. Exactly. If you also are updated with the policies of the major exchanges like Binance. The CEO said in a recent conference, they actually don't want to list tokens that have raised more than $20 million. For tokens, for ICOs that raised more than $100 million, they don't like them too much because they earn based on the growth and the appreciation of these tokens. And if you raise too much, then your market cap is already high, and exchanges won't like to list you right away.
Okay.
Especially that announcement by Binance.
There is a discipline that comes with not having unlimited amounts of money to actually build something. And that discipline is really important.
A lot of people also were asking us, even before we started the ICO or TGE, that they wanted to put in more. But I said no, that we only stick to our soft and hard cap.
That's a tough no to say, but I think it's good to have that discipline. What's the process for doing setting up for an ICO? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Oh my God, it's so hard. It's so hard. An ICO, if done right, it's the best gift to startups all over the world. I really view ICOs as a blessing to startups like us, especially in the Philippines. Venture capital is almost non-existent here.
Mm-hmm.
So if it weren't for this token generation event, we wouldn't be able to meet our vision of expanding globally.
Right, that's a really
so
good point.
So first, in order for you to raise money, you have to have money. So that's the biggest obstacle first. Previous to running the ICO, I made a computation of how much I will be spending on building the proper team, and also doing the right marketing, digital marketing, and building the platform. And I've had to raise $500,000 to do this process. So that in itself is the biggest struggle. Not when I talk to my shareholders and partners that I wanted to do this, all of them didn't understand what the blockchain and what an ICO was. So that was a struggle to tell them about this when we started that, about the process about 8 months ago. Not only that, you have to build the proper team. So I had to start hiring people, even though I didn't have the funding yet.
Right.
So if you look at our white paper, our lead blockchain developer or senior blockchain developer is a Canadian national. So we had to expatriate him from Canada to the Philippines to Manila, and because at that time there's a scarcity in talent, and also our CTO also is British, so we had to expatriate him also, the same as our COO, he's Indian, so and our business development people. So it's a lot of hard work. I can say almost right. Blood, sweat, and tears, because you started off with no one knowing who you are, and you have to have for you to have a successful ICO, you have to have a really good community. You have to have a good social media community, not only just Facebook or Twitter, but more important is Telegram. So,
right.
So when I started our ICO, we didn't have a Telegram channel, and now we have more than 14,000 Telegram members, and they're very active. So we had to do roadshows all over the world. So we were part of the Blockchain Economic Forum in New York in November. Then we practically it was in a city in the U.S., a different city in the U.S. almost every day. So I had to do a lot of conferences and meetups. I went to Singapore to attend the conference. I also had the meetup in Tokyo and in Hong Kong too. So it's a lot of hard work.
Right. Well, you know, credit to you. You know, you pulled it off and it's successful now. So, you know, all the while, like building the company at the same time. So
yeah, it's
coming up with the product
Especially
roadmap
Eagle.
and getting, you know,
Especially Eagle.
customers. Yeah. So yeah, that's great. Now, let me ask you something else. Where is the ICO based out of? Because that also is important, right? You have to decide where you're going to base the ICO at.
Right. So we're based out of the Philippines, and but our ICO is based also out of Hong Kong and other countries.
Okay. Now, how does the so you also mentioned Absolutely as a company has actual shareholders, right? So
Yes.
the difference between actual equity and the old way of raising money, which is still going to be around for, you know, as long as I think we're going to be around, because it's another viable way. But you know, the ICO and the token is different, right? It's there is no equity attached to it. So how do you manage these two types of communities?
Oh, so so our first of all, our token is not it's not a security token. It's a utility token. So what's good about having an ICO is that I don't get diluted since I'm the founder. It's actually a win-win for both the contributors and the shareholders, because both have get proper value. And so what with venture capital, it's a very long process of fundraising, and also you're like under the microscope. Every move that you make, you have to have approval, it has to be budgeted, and you spend too much in creating reports. And with an ICO or a token generation event, a startup like myself can expand rapidly, globally, faster.
Right. But you still have to you still have to manage both of these communities, right? I mean,
Yes,
your
yes,
investor
yes.
community, and so if somebody actually right now wanted to invest in Absolutely, would they be able to
Oh.
do it, not buying a coin, but actually becoming an investor?
And then not anymore. So you won't imagine how many offers I got ever since they found out that we launched a successful ICO. So I've been offered obscene amounts to buy shares of the company, but it's very hard to say no. Actually, some exchanges also approached us and said, okay, we'll list you. Of course, I won't name, but
Right.
some of them have, some of them through third party said, oh, you want to be they have a you want help to list in this exchange, we allow us to invest shares in your company. So it's
Interesting.
very hard to say. It's very hard to say no.
Right. Well, everybody's trying to somehow position themselves in this environment, this
Yes.
entire revolution, I guess I call it.
Yeah,
So
because specialty in the rewards in the rewards space, in the loyalty space, our Loyalcoin is actually backed by something. So if you buy Loyalcoin, you can use it in any merchant that accepts Loyalcoin. So there's really an intrinsic value and not just speculation.
right. So do you mind talking a little bit about I guess competition? Is that okay?
So I think our main difference, yeah, so there's a couple of tokens that I know. One is based in Vietnam, I think, and one is based in Japan. But I think our main differentiator is that since we've been doing this for a long time, yeah, they offer a similar platform, but our main difference is we're integrated with the cash registers or the POS systems, and different POS systems, top POS systems in the world. And that's, I think, a major differentiator. And another differentiator that we have is that we are also not only a rewards provider, but an exchange as well. And that's what other competitors do not offer. Here in the Philippines, we applied for a virtual currency exchange license, and we submitted the formal documentation, presented our business plan. So we're expecting to be awarded that virtual currency exchange license in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
So I think that's a major differentiator.
Right, right. And again, you know, competition is actually good, right? It makes all of us better. So
yes, and the world is, I mean it's the world is big.
It is.
There's enough.
The ocean is pretty big. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So we actually welcome competition because it brings out the best in us.
Right, right. Great. Well, Patrick, thank you so much. I mean, there is really good information, and I'm hoping that things will go well. So, what is the rest? What is your plan for 2018? What would you like? What, you know? What is your dream if you were to have your wishes come true by the end of 2018?
Right now we're really in the execution stage. So we signed the biggest online bus company in Thailand called ThaiRoute. They have about 5 million customers and do about 2 billion transactions a month. So our main wish, and it's a very realistic wish, is to roll out as efficient as possible, and at the same time, we speed up the legal process, because we don't have any ounce of doubt that our technology will work. And at the same time, the exchanges, we hope to have as many exchanges as possible. And of course, if I were to wish, is to become, our goal is to be $1 billion company in 2 years, but
what's the valuation What's the valuation right now?
Right now it's 38 million.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, it's good to think big.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, one more question is where is your revenues from? How does Absolutely make money actually?
Okay, perfect. That's a great question. We have three revenue streams. One is software as a service. So depending on the number of outlets or number of transactions that the merchant has, so we usually have a fixed monthly fee per outlet per month, or a fixed number of monthly fee per number of transactions per month. The second one would be a transaction fee. Every time somebody buys or exchanges Loyalcoin, we charge a very small fee that's competitive enough to with like a PayPal or a Western Union or any other payment gateway. The third one would be our coupon deals. So it's similar to a Groupon. So if we feature your coupon in on our Loyal wallet, a Coalition wallet, every time a consumer avails of that coupon, let's say you get a 30% discount out of this restaurant, we get a 10% commission out of that.
So which one of these revenue streams do you think is going to be the biggest long term?
Of course, the transaction fees.
Transaction fees?
Yes.
Okay. I guess that's a direct relationship to the volume, of course.
Yes, of course, of course.
But the deals could also be pretty big, right? The deals, like, you know, the business, the advertising revenues could also be pretty significant.
Yeah, but it could be pretty significant, but at the same time, we don't want to, of course, we have to strike a balance between the customer experience and
Right.
bombarding them with too much advertising, right? Or of course, and combining that with revenue stream for the merchant. So there has to be a really well-balanced and the thought of advertising program so that it's not it still provides a great user experience for the consumer.
Right. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Patrick. It was a pleasure talking with you and learning more about what you're doing. Very impressed. Best of
luck.
Thank
you, Darius, and thank you. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thank you.